live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we meet faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want your heart to be open this morning. Amen. The Lord is going to be speaking expressly to you. The Word of God is going to be coming forth with power. If you are trusting God for healing, the healings will be taking place. You know, while preparing, God was telling me about someone that came with a chronic abdominal pain to service. He said I should tell that person that before service ends, the pain will disappear. You will not know what happened. You will just remember, I thought I came with pain. Suddenly the pain is no more found. Glory to God. I want that person to be very expectant. Let your heart be opened to receive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to celebrate our senior pastor. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's away. Amen. You know, anytime pastor is away, it's for your benefit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're starting a new series this month. What's the title of the series? I can't hear you. Taking the lead. Glory to God. Taking the lead. So it's a teaching on leadership. A teaching on leadership. I'm sure someone is wondering, why are we teaching leadership on Sunday morning? What's happening? Yes, we need to teach it. Glory to God. We are not sure you have the right perspective about leadership. Glory to God. And you see, every concept that is out there blessing the world system originated from the church, originated from the scriptures. Glory to God. It was an idea from God. Hallelujah. And that's what we have to teach, so that believers are positioned, believers are equipped, they understand what true and authentic leadership is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to appreciate everybody, all us, all the pastors in the house. I want to celebrate them, Pastor E and his lovely wife. Glory to God. The other pastors, I want to appreciate you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to appreciate my wife and my son. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody made me say, is your son's name Asha or Asha? I say, okay, it's the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Are you set this morning? Glory to God. You're going to be blessed in service. You see, when we teach on leadership from the church, it's not lecture. Glory to God. It's different from what happens in the secular world. You see, they can teach you about leadership there that is devoid of power. But you see, in God's house, when a teaching on leadership comes, expect transformation. Expect impartations. Expect miracles. Expect signs and wonders. Glory to God. That's the difference. What we're communicating to you, we're communicating spirit and life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It means as I'm speaking to you, I'm communicating life. I'm communicating spirit. Glory to God. I'm calling that greatness from within you out. Hallelujah. So that's leadership in God's heart. So we talk about leadership, amen. And I want your hearts to be opened to receive. To receive this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a widening global crisis or leadership gap. Okay. Leadership gap. There's issues surrounding leadership everywhere. You see, when you go to a society, you discover things are not working. We all know that you have to trace everything to leadership. You track everything to leadership. Now, one of the major challenges we have in this 21st century is a leadership challenge. Leadership crisis, leadership gap. For most of you that have gone for leadership training, you understand what I'm saying. It was John Maxwell that said, everything rises and falls on what? On leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Meaning leadership is responsible for productivity in the society. If things are working, it's leadership. If they are not working, it's leadership. And you see, we've had a lot of misconception here and there about the true concept of what leadership is. Even believers have been misunderstood what true and authentic leadership is. For many people, when we talk about leadership, it's about getting people and start commanding them and start bossing over them. That's not true leadership. For some people, they think leadership is exclusive to an elite club of certain people or of certain persons. No. And also this teaching is coming to you so that you understand your position rightly and you understand what true leadership is. Glory to God. You see, because most believers' ideology about leadership is based on a conditioned response. And that response or that conditioning happens from the entire world system. If you ask somebody, it's okay, you think leadership is a secular ideology. No. It's in the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this whole teaching today, I'm just trying to introduce what leadership is. Hallelujah. Now there are a series of other teachings, leading yourself, life lessons from the life of Jesus, from David. You know, a lot of leadership lessons you will learn. Glory to God. And something will happen to you. Hallelujah. Something will happen to you. Now the first thing I want you to note is leadership is in our nature. You can write it down. It's in your nature. It is the true essence of our nature. Let's start with Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to 28. Ayalaba, can we have the scripture projected on the screen? Leadership is in our nature. And God said, let us make man in our image. You know, Pastor taught us something that every concept, okay, that is biblical, you have to track it to what? First, from the book of Genesis. And that's what we're starting there. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Let me stop there. Let them have dominion. Now, this was after the 6 days of creation. So let us make man. The first thing he talked about was in our image, to look like us, and after our likeness, to function like us. Then he said, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So leadership is your nature. Is in your nature. In the world's concept, they will tell you there are this misconception here and there. Are leaders born or they are made? Guess what? In the gospel, you are born a leader. Did you get that? You are born a leader. So I wrote something down here. Being made in the image of God means having the nature of leadership. It means you have the nature of leadership. It means leadership is inherent in our nature and is fundamental to our origin and destiny. So you were born to lead in every sphere of endeavor, in every sphere of life. You were born to take the lead. You were born to be in charge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So everybody is born with a leadership potential. But the question is, not everyone is leading successfully. So leadership is in your nature. Every believer has the nature and capacity for leadership. Glory to God. Are you following me this morning? So no matter who you are, in essence, you are a leader. Whether you are rich or poor, male, female, white or black, educated, uneducated, you are a leader. You were born with the nature and capacity for leadership. And that's what you saw in the scripture. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. So let's make man to look like us, to function like us, and then let them have dominion. Verse 2, enter into the dominion mandate. That is a leadership mandate. He said, let them have dominion. Let them take the lead. Let them be in charge. Hallelujah. Are you following me this morning? Say this, I have the nature and capacity for leadership. Say it again, I have the nature and capacity for leadership. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now write this down. Leadership is first about your identity and your assignment. Leadership is first about your identity and assignment, not what you do. Not what you do. There's no true authentic leadership without biblical understanding of our identity and our calling in God. Who you are determines what you do. You've heard senior pastors saying that time and time again. Who you are determines what you do. So your leadership is connected to your identity, number one, and your assignment. So question is, who are you? Because the revelation of who you are will fuel or power your leadership. If you are given position or title of leadership and you do not know who you are, you will mess up. So leadership is first about who you are. It's first about your identity and your calling. I see, don't underestimate the power of this statement. See, identity is key. The success of your life can be traced to a perfect revelation of your identity. And when I talk about identity, I'm not talking about who you are based on what people say. I'm not talking about who you are based on what you think. Well, I was born this way. Me, I like my space. Even from when I was growing up, my parents, they know that I like my space. You know, they know that I don't like eating this. I don't like eating that. There's no man that was born that way. Have you seen any child being born into the world and said, I like my space? I don't like this. I don't know. Children are conditioned from the environment. There's something called environmental conditioning. Glory to God. So the identity I'm talking about here is from scriptures. Identity from the word of God. So who you are based on scriptures. Who you are based on what God has said. That's your true identity. Meaning your identity is not dependent on the opinion of others. It's not dependent on what people say about you or do not say about you. When the scripture says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, do you accept it as who you are? So your true identity is in the scriptures. And I'm taking my time to talk about identity because that is the foundation of true leadership. Your identity in Christ. Glory to God. Give me Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. The Message translation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed already? Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Message translation. Can we have it on the screen? I want us to read it together. Ayalabatusa. Are you ready to read? Are you ready to read? 1, 2, go. Make a careful, yes, exploration, of who you are, and then what? Don't be impressed, with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Hi, just leave the scripture there. Leave the scripture, verse 4. Make a careful exploration of who you are. Hi. Do you know what exploration is? It means to investigate. You are trying to understand who you are. That means there are believers that do not know who they are. They don't have a revelation of their identity. He said, make a careful exploration of who you are. And the second thing, and the work you have been given. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing identity there? Are you seeing assignment there? That's where true leadership starts from. So it's about the revelation of your identity. Who are you? Explore. Find out who you are. What you were made in the image and likeness of God. That's why we read that scripture. It's clear. And the work you begin, he says, sink yourself into it. Kai. Spend time understanding who you are. Spend time. He says, sink yourself into that. He said, don't be impressed with yourself. Do you understand? That's why you see people are competing here and there. It's because people have not come to understand who they are and the uniqueness of their assignment. If you know who you are and you know that your assignment is unique, you will not compete. There's no reason to compare yourself. The scripture says, them comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. So there's no reason whatsoever for comparison. He said, make a careful exploration of who you are. He said, and the work you've been given and your assignment. That means, if we're talking about leadership, I want you to know this. You can't lead if you do not know who you are. You can't lead if you do not know your purpose and assignment. So that's what I'm saying here. So when I'm talking about leadership, the take home is, the first thing, I need to know who the Lord has made me, who I am. I need to know my assignment. Personal assignment, corporate assignment. Because your assignment determines your leadership, determines the kind of leadership. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Give me that verse 5. Give me verse 5 of the same scripture. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Hallelujah. That's talking about leadership. Glory to God. So it's connecting, knowing yourself, knowing your calling, and leadership. Are you seeing the connection? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Judges. Give me Judges chapter 6 from verse 12 to 16. You see, we have men in the scriptures. You see, God cannot use you if you do not understand who you are. The first thing he will do is to reveal your identity to you. That's what he will do. Now, this was a story about Gideon. Okay, remember he was threshing with in the wine press, okay, hiding with his father, hiding it from the Midianites. Now, if you read the story in the background, Israel has been under attack. They've been under attack from the Midianites, and they will plant, they will come and clear their harvest. So there was so much poverty everywhere. So this guy was threshing wheat, okay, by the wine press, and hiding it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord, maybe go to previous verse. Let's go maybe start from verse 8. Okay, and we'll go down so that you get the story in context. From verse 8. And the Lord sent the prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto the Lord, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Next verse. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Next verse. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Glory to God. So you understand what he was doing. And then the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Look at that statement. That statement captivated my attention. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. For me, his response was predicted. In verse 30, he said, what do you mean that you are with me? He said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then all this befalling us? Can you imagine God telling you, I am with you? You are very weak, and God is telling you, you are a mighty man of valor. So God was trying to reveal his true identity and what he had. So the first thing was, he was trying to open his eyes to see beyond what was happening. He said, why then all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Next verse. We're reading to verse 16. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Aye. Meaning, I have sent you. He said, go in this might. So he was revealing his identity, number one, and he was revealing what? His assignment. I don't know. Are you getting it? Mighty man of valor. Go in this thy might. Have I not sent thee? Next verse. I said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Aya. The scripture says God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the wise, the base things of this world. Glory to God. When God calls, he's not looking at your qualification, he's not looking at where you are, he's not looking at your challenges. So the call to leadership is for you to understand who you are first and your assignment. So you must understand who you are. So God was trying to reveal his true identity to him. He called him mighty man of valor. So it means as a believer, you must have the right perspective in that sector where God has planted you. How do you see yourself? Who do you see yourself as? Do you truly understand who you are and the assignment God has given to you? And that is the foundation of true and authentic leadership. Are you getting blessed this morning? He said, and the Lord said to him, I will be with thee and shall smite the Midianite, and you shall smite the Midianite as one man. Kai. Imagine having that kind of capacity and you are living a life of obscurity. You are living a life of defeat. You are living a life of depression. Not knowing that you had all the capacity within. You had all the potential to lead the children of Israel. Glory to God. Do you know there are generations packaged inside you? Aye. So you need to rise and take the lead. You need to rise and take charge. And that's why the first thing here I'm talking about is the revelation of your identity and your calling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? So you see, even the world system right now, they already know that if we're talking about leadership, if people do not understand who they are, they won't lead well. They won't do well. In that organization, they won't do well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I wrote something down here. Learning about leadership and knowing what it means to be a leader are two different things. They are two different things. Learning comes from education. Knowing comes from revelation. Did you get that? Eh? If we're saying you need to know who you are, we're not saying go and start studying, open Google, find out, okay, who am I? Or, okay, you're trying to get opinions from people and everything. Knowing who you are comes from revelation. Hallelujah. Learning is cognitive. Knowing is spiritual. And that's why you cannot miss this spiritual component of leadership. You can't. There's such thing as the spirit of leadership. You can't miss it. You must understand who you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed this morning? Now, God has a perspective on leadership. And we've started sharing it already. Talking about identity and your calling. God has his position on leadership. So also the world system have their position on leadership. Now it may not necessarily be the same. Let me tell you, every principle you see the world system applies that produces result, that blesses humanity, originated from scriptures. Originated from God's house. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God's position about leadership is clear. And we can see it from his word. God is loud and big on leadership. Hallelujah. While you have excellent books, excellent materials, videos that talk about leadership and everything, as a believer, you must first look into God's word to get the right perspective about leadership. Hallelujah. You must first look into God's word. Hallelujah. And I wrote something down here. Our concept of leadership is not rooted in the worldly notion of success, such as the love of money, power, fame, position. In the world system, leadership is probably about power, okay, authority, okay, lording it over people. But you see, in the gospel, that is not leadership. At its best, that's control. And I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28. We're going to read it. Now, Jesus spoke against the worldly system of leadership and gave us a clear biblical perspective about leadership. Now, Jesus called them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Next verse. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him what? Let him be your what? Minister. Next verse. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So give me that verse 25 again, maybe the Message translation. So Jesus is saying, the world system, their ideology of leadership is about lording it over people. It's about control. How godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their head. They are moved with small power. They want to exercise authority. And that's the world concept of leadership. And it's not the same. So Jesus is saying, if you want to be a leader, serve. So he's defining leadership as service. Influence. Service and influence. Meaning when you serve and influence others, that is leadership. He's not bossing it over people. So whosoever wants to be great, wants to be your leader, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. In Africa, or in our environments, most times, if you want to know who the leader is the boss. The one that everybody is moving around with. Okay, they are holding everything. You know, he's moving light. You know, and that's good, okay, if it's a display of honor, hallelujah. But people take it to the extreme. I'm sure there are people that won't mind for people to brush their teeth for them. You know, you know, do things for them. So-called leaders, that's not leadership. Leadership is service. And it's clear, Jesus said it. It shall not be so with you. He said, don't act like the Gentiles that lord it over people. That are drunk with power. So that's why I said our own leadership philosophy is not tied to external motivation. It's not tied to position. It's not tied to title. It's not tied to power. Hallelujah. And that's why there's a clear difference between leading and controlling. Leadership and control are not the same. Do you know that we were not meant to control people? We're meant to lead them. When you're controlling people, you are using force, the arm of flesh, intimidation. No man was created to be under control. Do you understand? We're created to be led. Do you understand? They are two different things. So leadership and control are not the same. And if you study world leaders, you discover there are certain leaders that are influential in code. What they did was control, they didn't lead people. We're not talking about the Emperor Nero, the Adolf Hitler, okay, Idi Amin. All those guys are just they are dictators. Question: is a dictator a leader? According to the scriptures, no. That's lording it over people. And also, that's what the entire system of communists is all about. Lording it over people. They do not have their own opinion of themselves. They do everything you tell them to do. Instructions, you lord it over them. You use intimidation and force. But you see, Jesus is making it clear here. For us in the scriptures, leadership is service. Tell your neighbor, leadership is service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't control people, lead them. If God give you an opportunity to have people under you, don't control them, lead them. Hallelujah. So leadership is serving and influencing others. Give me Acts chapter 13, verse 36. When you study the life of David, you discover one profound thing the scriptures highlighted about him. He said, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. The emphasis here, he served his generation. So my question is, are you serving your generation? What are you doing to serve your own generation? He was a man after God's heart, motivated by service to God. So where God has placed you right now, your business, that company, that sector you are, God is looking at your disposition. He's looking at your heart. What are you doing there? Are you serving or you are controlling? Are you serving? And these are foundations about true leadership. Glory to God. Service. He served. You know, the world is full of, you know, there are leaders everywhere in the world system. You know, if you read about Mother Teresa, about her work, you know, what she did, the entire social work, okay, reaching out to the poor people, okay, creating a system around it. It was all motivated with a heart of service. Now, when you call her name, you know that's someone that passed through eternity. That's someone that is great. Service to your generation. It was said that when she was young, at age of 18, you know, she had a vision, okay, to serve, and she became a nun. Okay, and they went, all her ministry work and everything she did was in India. Glory to God. And then, you know, there were regions of India that was very poor in that season. Very poor. You can see poverty walking. Do you understand? Poverty walking. At least I grew up in the north. I can tell you, poverty can take the form of a man. I'm serious. You can see poverty there moving. Aya. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Up north. Aya labados. They now have association of poor people. And you will see poor. When you see your own poverty, you discover that I am better than this other person's poverty. Aye. So, but that was her calling, to the poorest of the poor. And that thing ignited a passion within her. She created a system to reach out to everybody. There's something she said. She said, don't wait for leaders to get things done. He said, at your level, get things done. Person to person, meet that need wherever you are. Don't wait for leaders to take the initiative. So the question is, who are leaders? Are leaders those that are given position or title? Not necessarily. Service. What you offer right now, where you are, is an act of service. And once it's an act of service, that is taking the lead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is taking the lead. So we must learn to adopt God's ideology and perspective about what true and authentic leadership is. If you need to go back to that scripture again, read it. Jesus said, see, leadership in God's house is not about, or biblical perspective of our leadership is not about loading into our people or controlling people. It's about serving them. Glory to God. So serve your generation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at two things. I'll just share the first one in this service and hopefully we'll continue the others in the second service. Hallelujah. Leadership mandate, you can write it down. Leadership mandate. Number one is the dominion mandate. Now we'll go back to our Genesis chapter 26 to 28. Hallelujah. Now you can give me the message translation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. Hallelujah. Aya. Say this, I was created for dominion. Hey, I was created to take the lead. I can't hear you. I was created to take charge. Yeah.
You were created to be in charge. You were not created to be dominated by circumstances. You are not created to be messed around by the devil. You are not created to be sick here and there. You were created to dominate life circumstances, to dominate challenges. He said, let us make man in our image. Oh, we read it, right? He said, so that they can take the lead. Man was not created to be dominated. He was created to have dominion. Have you noticed that as a believer, once you are going through maybe challenges or situations, or circumstances around you come to put you under pressure, okay, to just move you up and down, you notice that there's something within you that resists it. The reason is because wired within you is the nature of dominion. Wired within you is the nature of leadership. No man was created to be dominated. Why? You had that mandate, that calling to be in charge is inside you. So you are created to rule, to govern, to control life circumstances. Like I said, we don't control people. We can control circumstances. We can control challenges. Hallelujah. We can control things happening around us, but not people. And that's why you see any system where people are lording over people, it will work. Why? Because man will rebel. It's not in his wiring to be dominated. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Very important. So, wired within you is that instinct of leadership. You were created with it. If birds have instinct to fly, fishes have instinct to swim, you have the instinct of leadership. Glory to God. So let them have dominion. The word dominion there is to rule, to govern, to take charge, to be in charge, to prevail. And for me, when I read this scripture, I see it as an instruction. Okay, let's go to verse 27 and 28. 27 and 28. God created human beings. He created them God-like, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. Okay, you can give me King James now. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful. Do you understand? Do you know that this is a command? It's a command. That's what we call it, the commanded blessing. He commanded, he said, be fruitful. Multiply, replenish, just subdue it, and what? Have dominion. So man was created to dominate things. You are created to rule over the spheres of your influence. That means the sector where you are right now, you should be in charge. I did not say you have the title of the boss. Have you gone to organizations? Listen, the people that make things happen in the organization are not necessarily the people on top. They are those we call stabilizers. If you pull them out, the organization will crumble. They know how to make things happen. That's what the scripture is saying. So when you go, be in charge. You cannot be in a sector or doing a business, or you're working with people and you are the least. You understand what I mean by you're the least? You are being tormented, you are being oppressed, and they cannot see that there's something different about you. So be in charge. Take the lead. Tell your neighbor, take the lead. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, take the lead. So it's an instruction. So meaning you should have the mindset of, okay, this is what God has called me to do. They should feel my impact here. Because I'm a leader. Because I have the nature of leadership. I have the capacity of leadership. They should feel my impact here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? Glory to God. So it's inherent. That potential is there. Let it loose. Let it out. Let it loose. In that sector, let it loose. Meaning, have that mindset of dominion. Be in charge. Now, the first thing I'm talking about under the dominion mandate is, number one, leadership is taking responsibility. Now that statement is a common statement here and there, but it is true. Leadership is taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for your own life, for the life of the people around you, for the propagation of the gospel. That is leadership. It is taking responsibility. Now we read in that verse 28, it said, let them take responsibility. Let them take responsibility. That's what the Message translation says. Let them take responsibility. Meaning to be in charge. You are not abdicating the responsibility to somebody else. And that's how Adam lost his authority. He abdicated responsibility to the wife. The wife abdicated responsibility to the devil. And the devil took it. No, did you get that? Yes. So they asked, okay, why did this happen and everything? He said, no, it's the wife you gave me. You are seeing how leaders behave. It's the wife you gave me. So he abdicated the responsibility to her. She said, no, it's the serpent. And the serpent received. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, don't abdicate responsibility. Don't. So you were created to be in charge. You are created to take charge, to take responsibility. Someone say, if you don't take charge, you'll be discharged. I know you don't want to be discharged, right? So you take charge. You take responsibility so that you're not discharged. Hallelujah. Very important. Listen, don't be those that are living a timid life. Don't be those that, okay, when God sends you to a place, okay, you're working with people, you're getting things done, and they see you as that person that is timid. No. Do you know who you are? Do you know the nature and the capacity you have? When God gave this instruction, guess what? Do you know that Adam named all the animals? It was part of that mandate. He took responsibility. When he created Adam, he brought him. He said, okay, take responsibility. Give names to all these animals. And the scripture says, God told him to give names. And he said, the names that Adam gave them, that's what they were called. So believers should be the one making things happen in the world system. We should be the one producing more results. Glory to God. Yes. We should be done producing results. He named them, meaning he gave each of these animals identity. Aye. He took responsibility. So leadership is taking responsibility. We must take responsibilities for our business. We must take responsibility for our career, for our relationship, for our world, for the influence of the gospel. Don't wait for things to work. Make them work. You are a leader. Make them work. That's the true sign of leadership. Because you've been commissioned, there's a mandate upon you to lead. There's a mandate upon you to take charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh Jesus, my time is moving very fast. Now, scriptures are full of men and women who took responsibility for their world. I'm giving Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 from verse 4. We'll just from verse 4. You see, you cannot talk about leadership and not mention Nehemiah. We have a lot of leaders in the scriptures. King David, Daniel, Queen Esther. These are people that rose and took responsibility for their world. Now, let me just summarize the story here. Now, the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates were burnt. And you see, that was already rendering Jerusalem without security, meaning they are vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer of the then king, the king Artaxerxes, right? He was a cupbearer. And information reached him that Jerusalem's wall has been broken. The gates are no more. He was moved. He was grieved. took out time to pray and fast and believe that God had given him instruction to go ahead for the rebuilding of that wall. Now that is taking responsibility. Do you understand? It wasn't like he was appointed to do it. He took responsibility for the rebuilding of that wall. That is leadership. Hallelujah. That's leadership. Imagine serving under a hidden king. He took permission from the king. They even gave him a letter so that the territories can give him permission to pass. And even the materials he used in the rebuilding, the king supplied it. Supplies follows taking responsibilities. Take that step. Take responsibility. Take charge. He took responsibilities. Now, they had oppositions, a lot of things, but he stayed focused. So he developed that passion and inspired the Jews. They okay, come, we need to rebuild this wall. He took initiative. He did not wait to be given the title. Okay, now Nehemiah, you are now in charge. No, he took responsibility. That's why I said, don't wait for title to lead where you are. Don't wait for position to lead where you are, because it is a mandate you have from God. Glory to God. It's a mandate you have from God. So take charge. Take responsibility for your sphere. Meaning, if things are not working, look within. If things are not working around you, look within. And say, Lord, I take responsibility. I know I'm supposed to be in charge. I'm supposed to make these things to work. You cannot be a believer in a sector and things are not working and you are idle and you are looking. That's abdicating responsibility. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So take responsibility for your world. Take responsibility. Take the lead. Be in charge. Now that's Nehemiah. If you study about King David, you will know he took responsibility. I won't have time for us to read 1 Samuel chapter 17. But you see, he took responsibility for removing the reproach from Israel. Can you imagine the Philistines and their champion, Goliath of Gath, intimidating and oppressing Israel? And Saul, that was the king, the tallest man, was so afraid that he could not challenge him. And here comes this young boy. This young lad that was sent to carry food to his brothers. And he said, what's happening here? And he got to understand that this has been happening. So the first question he asked is, what will be the reward? He was profit oriented, and I love it. I love him for that. Because he knew what he was going to offer. Hiya. Meaning there are values you can offer. I tell you, resources will flow. Yes, sir. If you take responsibility, resources will flow. He said, what shall be done to the man? Or what shall be given to the man that takes down this giant? And they say, okay, well, his family will be free of tax. Wow, that's good. And he'll marry the king's wife. My goodness. I will be interested. Do you understand? Will you not be interested? But you see, he understood taking responsibility. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Hiya. Who is this guy? He said, I will take you out. Malabala to Sabaya. He took responsibility. And you see, every time you take responsibility, you have the backing of heaven. You have the backing of heaven. Why? Because you've been commissioned to do that. It's a mandate given from God. And God is pro taking responsibilities. Take charge. Take charge. Listen, if believers all over the world will understand this perspective about leadership, things will be working. Things will work. Glory to God. See this, I take responsibility for my life. I take responsibility for making things work around me. I take responsibility for spreading the gospel. Come on, say this, I take charge. I take the lead. Can you just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost?
Begin to pray in the spirit. Mila balatosa. I have told you that leadership is about, first about your identity and your calling in God. It is about taking responsibility. The other things I would have loved to share, but you see, is a mandate from heaven is upon you. That nature and capacity for leadership is upon you. Mompatosa bragatola banda kata. Ejepatele mando sevrido ka. Lepaton soske patete bragaton sokabata. I refuse to give excuses because God has planted me where I am. I refuse to give excuses. I stand and I take charge of leading. I take the lead. Because I know as I take the lead, I have the backing of heaven. As I take the lead, resources will flow. As I take the lead, yes, things are aligning in places for me. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? If you can, rise to your feet. Rest your feet. We're going to break bread very soon. Amanda Lamanokate. Indale Soshepina Kate. Indole Pandro Sakapa. Labakora Soshkinamania. Indele Manosa. Eshabate Kate. Repete. Lika Patons Oshkepa. Hallelujah. We're going to pray two prayers. We're going to pray, Father, I arise and I take charge. Listen, the strategy of the enemy is to suppress you where you are. The strategy of the enemy is to put you under. Is to make you look least, look like the least person there. You're going to declare, Father, I arise beyond every oppression of the enemy. I arise and I take charge for my world. I take charge for my own life. I take charge for my relationship. I take charge for my family. Can you open your mouth and begin to pray? If you're seated, kindly rise to your feet. Just rise to your feet. I arise and I take charge. Yes. I have been called to lead. There's a calling on me to take charge. There's a calling on me to take the lead. In Alemano, I take charge of my world in the name of Jesus. Yes, I take responsibility for making things work. I take responsibility in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. I refuse to be a coward. I refuse to be a mediocre. Yes. And Alamanos. Alapakapatos. Abrakapata. Arapakate. Hallelujah. We're going to take this communion. You see, it's a communion of influence. Hallelujah. It's a communion of kingdom influence. Meaning, as you are taking this communion, suddenly you begin to rise. The genius, the leadership capacity with you to begin to rise. Suddenly you begin to spring forth in taking charge. You begin to spring forth in taking responsibility. The communion is going to come to you. I want you to start praying in the Holy Ghost. I want you to start praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a communion of kingdom influence. Meaning, as we take this communion, as we take this body and take the blood, kapate, we are positioned. Yes, yes, we are rising with the capacity. We are rising with the visage of a colossus. Kila balatosa, eshepatosa. Begin to pray in the spirit before the communion gets to you. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Is it arise? Is it shine? Is it your light is come? and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said, Gentiles shall come to thy light, verse 2 and verse 3, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Kai, ele bala tu sabata. Gentiles are coming to my light. Give me that verse 3. Isaiah 60, verse 3. Verse 2 and verse 3. This is a scripture you will pray as you take this communion. Isaiah 60, verse 2 and verse 3. Let me have it very fast. Verse 2 and verse 3, please. Isaiah 60, verse 2 and 3. It said, Gentiles, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. It said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3. It said, Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh, yeah. As you take this communion, as you take this body, I want you to open your mouth and begin to prophesy and declare, Gentiles are coming to my light. Hey, kings are coming to the brightness of my rising. Open your mouth and begin to confess the scripture.
We exalt you.
Montala balu da sabra gatosa.
You
ele baton zoskepa le dezevre gatola baya. Ishapatona bila kason zevregete. La paton zoskepa raton zoskepa late.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you. Yeah. You are my God.
Open your mouth as the communion gets to you. Open your mouth and make the
I will exalt you. I will. You've been faithful to the ages.
Open your mouth and make declarations. Can you pray in the spirit? Hallelujah. You're going to open your mouth right now. In the next 3 to 5 minutes, the power of God will break here. You will open your mouth and make declarations. You're going to declare, Father, under this blood of the new covenant, I decree and I declare that Gentiles are coming to my light. Yes, suddenly the door is open. Suddenly the door is open. Ishapate, likapate, likapato. I said 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes. Pray. Shapa, rapa. I stand in blood and I declare. Rapa, shapata, lapata. Kingdom influence, 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 influence. I declare influence. Declare influence, rapper, for the gospel, for the gospel, for the gospel. Shapapa, rapetetete, lepatikatila, ipatila pata, eleperete. The power of God is resting upon somebody. That power will lift you.
that power will take you from obscurity to limelight. Kapalatas. Elepetes. The power of the Spirit of God is enthroning people. I see people enthroned. Yes. 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 Let it rest upon you. Pali. Bati. Baka. Isapila. Ah. Ah. Yes. Yes. By the anointing of the Spirit. Ah. By the ordination of God. Eshetepe. Lipete, Lipakos, Labrakoska, Ibate, Eleberete, Isapata, Ilapaka, 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 Ilapaka.
Hallelujah. You know, I pray for this meeting. God told me about somebody here. You've been applying. It's like a contract. You've been applying many times. They've rejected you. Alamina sabati. Elebatos. Like Apostle Paul will say, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. You know that this thing is supposed to be for me. But it's as if there is opposition. Alabatosa. The Spirit of God said, I should tell you, you've been accepted. Emalikata. It means you have been accepted. They will call for you. You didn't hear me. I said that we call for you and it will be approved in the name of Jesus. La patoska bate emalina maliata efrete patosko palati la prete pete. The Lord is lifting people here. There's someone here. Aha, I just remembered. You've been oppressed. It's not even connected to what we're talking about here. For several nights, you've gone through oppression, serious oppression, demonic oppression. Malika Palatusa, I declare the freedom of the Lord upon you. I declare you are free. I don't know what that person is. I declare you are free. In the name of Jesus, that oppression will no longer dwell with you. Eleba, no more oppression by the power of the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I see here people are getting lifted. The Lord is lifting people. Hey, He's lifting people. He's changing levels. He's changing levels. Hey, glory. Hey, rejoice. 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 Come on, rejoice. If you know you have received, give the Lord a shout.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.